We're going to talk about this morning, always being thankful. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we always have a reason to be thankful for what God has done for us and how He has worked in our life. Dr. Dale Robbins writes, I used to think people complain because they had a lot of problems, but I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to wreak havoc in our life. So you and I, as we approach this Thanksgiving week, let us come with a reminder that we are to be always thankful, not in a ungrateful way, but smiling and saying, oh, I'll get through it or whatever. But recognizing there are some things in our life as believers that we can express gratitude for God, what He has done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, that small verse that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit to the Thessalonians becomes something that's true for all of us who are believers in Christ. There ought to be something we can give God thanks for because it's His will that we express gratitude. Gratitude is one of those things that seems to always change our perspective about life, our perspective about present circumstances, our perspective about past circumstances. And if we allow it to, it can change what we think about future circumstances that we are going to go through. So I want to share with you today five truths we can always be thankful to God for. These are five specific truths that we can always be thankful to God for. What's the first one? The first one is God's gift of Jesus. You know, Jesus volunteered, talks about in Philippians, Jesus volunteered to be that person that God was going to send to deliver us from evil, to deliver us from our sins, to deliver us from unforgiveness, and to deliver us from the consequences of our sin, meaning what ultimately was going to happen because I was a sinner before I met Christ. Well, I had no hope. I had no destiny. I had no future. I had no sense of goodness in my life. You know, one of the things that it's hard to share sometimes is when I was in high school, I wanted a Jeep so bad. Tom and Tammy, I wanted a Jeep so bad. And I told my friend that we spent a lot of time together, I said, you know what? I really want a Jeep. Well, one thing that will happen sometimes is your friend's going to always want the best for you. And he always said, every time we were together, your mom and dad are going to get you a Jeep. Your mom and dad are going to get you a Jeep. And I had that on my radar constantly. I would look at them. I would dream about being there. Well, guess what happened when Christmas Day came? I didn't get a Jeep. I got the gift that my mom and dad picked out for me, a toolbox for my truck. And if looking back at it, I was so ungrateful at that moment. Why? Because I had not gotten a Jeep. Not the gift that I particularly wanted at that time. Well, that's true of us all when we're in our immature state where we don't see that God is working and we don't acknowledge the good things that we have in life. Sometimes people don't acknowledge the gift of Jesus and how wonderful He is and how much He has accomplished. But God, in His sovereignty, planned to send a perfect individual. And we have come to know Him as the man Jesus. The Word of God speaks of Him as being perfect in every way. A tremendous and wonderful gift if we understand it. If we acknowledge the importance of that relationship and not look for something worldly sometimes in a more meaningful way to us and to our friendships. But the gift of Jesus is the greatest gift we could ever have. It's the greatest blessing that God could give us. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You and I receive the blessings that God has for us through the person of Jesus Christ. You remember when we were going through the first chapter of Ephesians? How many times it talked about the blessings that we have been given because we are a person who knows Jesus. We are a person that loves Him. We are a person that allows Him to be in our life. You know, used to be, we heard it more, a song, where would I be without grace? Where would you and I be without Jesus? What has He given you in your life that you want to acknowledge? The gift of Jesus to us is not dependent on whether we are broke or whether we have all the money in the world. It's not dependent on whether or not we're healthy. It's dependent on the gift. God's gift of Jesus is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, the passage that we had talked about already. So that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us. Guess who it gave us that kindness? In Christ Jesus. It's only in the work of Jesus in our life that you and I can find a grateful attitude, and we can find gratefulness in the most difficult situation that we can face. How many times do you read stories about people who were imprisoned wrongly or people that were martyred and how they gave thanks to the Lord? How they depended upon Jesus in those moments. So the first gift we ought to always be thankful for is God's gift of Jesus. Let's talk about the second gift. God's gift of salvation in Jesus. You know, we are taught in many places throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, that you and I have salvation today, not because I'm such a wonderful person or because I've done so many good things, but because of salvation in Jesus. You and I ought to be grateful for that, because there is nothing that can take that away. There is nothing that can remove that event of salvation in our life. When we are saved, we become part of God's family. We become part of His children. You and I receive the gift of the Spirit, as we're going to talk about in just a moment. In all of those things, we experience the salvation God has for us through the person of Jesus Christ. When His disciples were wondering, what in the world is Jesus going to do, or what's going to happen to us? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. Get this. I am the life. When we talk about life, we're not talking about just life here on earth. We're talking about everlasting life. We're talking about a life that only God makes possible for us through the salvation of Jesus Christ, through His work of grace. Romans 10, verse 10 says this: one believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on Him will not be put to shame. You and I do not miss out on the blessing of salvation. And if you are here today, and God, by His grace and His kindness, has drawn you to Himself, and you have experienced the blessing of salvation, no water, no matter what happens in the future, we are saved in Jesus Christ. We are part of the family of God. 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous. Now listen to this part: to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who can do that for us? Jesus. Jesus alone. It was part of God's plan of salvation for us in Jesus. The third thing that you and I should always be thankful for is we should always be thankful for God's gift of new life in Jesus. God's gift of new life in Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says this: but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us. Us, people that are here. That great love made us alive with Christ even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. You are saved by God's grace. God's gift of new life in Jesus is expressed in verse 6. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. You feel right now seated in heaven by the gift that God has given to you? We are. We need to learn to think like God wants us to think. We don't think about this life and all the things that we can get in this life without thinking about how God has given us the ability to pursue those things in new life. Because what does it say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1? You, me, all of us, we were dead in trespasses and sin. But in verse 4, it says, we have been made alive in Christ. So you and I can be thankful for the reality that we don't have to go through this life without new life in Jesus Christ. We can have that. We can experience it. We can live it, what God has for us. So God has given us that blessing of the gift of new life in Christ. We've gone over the fact that God's gift is Jesus. We've talked about how we experience salvation in Jesus. And thirdly, that God's gift is new life in Jesus. Now, why is that important? That's important because I'm sure some of you are like me, if not all of you are like me. And that is, we go through a certain set of circumstances and we begin to ask ourselves the question, well, does God really love me? Does God really care about me? Does God really care about what's going on in my life? And the answer is to that is always yes. And that's the reason why we're thankful, not just some weird idea somebody came up with that says you should always be a thankful person, but because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the reason why you and I can be thankful. The fourth reason is God has given us His Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times we talk about God is in my heart. Well, the explanation of that is God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. And when we say, I ask Jesus into my heart, in essence, we are saying yes. Yes to everything God has for us. And that includes the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us 24/7. It was Jesus who said to His disciples, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. This is in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor, that word there, you could put the Holy Spirit And you would still be in sequence with what the Word of God is saying here. The Counselor will not come to you. If I go, what is the promise we have from God? I will send Him to you. He will live inside of you. He will dwell among you. When you are going through a difficult season in life, who do you cry out to? The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. You and I should cry out to Him, ask Him to do a fresh work in our life. Ask Him to change our perspective. Ask Him to help us see things from the way He sees them. The way He is going to show us. It's only because God has given us the gift of the Spirit that you and I can have the mind of Christ. It's only that God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit can we bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You and I can't do that because we come to church every Sunday. You and I can't live out that life because we have read the Bible one time and we know it all. You and I cannot live out that kind of life because we talk about Jesus. No. It's when the Spirit of Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of us that you and I can grow into the person that is pleasing to God, honoring to Him. And the fifth one is this: God's gift of an eternal home in heaven. You know, it's sad, but sometimes we can get our eyes not fixed on the things in heaven, but we can get our eyes fixed on the things that are in the world. And we can feel as if, well, I deserve that. I should have that. If I work, I can have that. But the reality is, God has prepared a home for us in paradise, heaven, whatever you want to call it. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He promises to us an eternal home. You know, a lot of times we feel like when a person dies, that is so sad for them because they're not going to experience that. Yes, they are. They are going to experience that because they have chosen to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. And through Jesus Christ, He makes it possible for us to live in an eternal home. Do you remember what Jesus said to His disciples? He said, "If I go away," what did He say? He said, "I will come again. I will come again." Now catch this part: "That where I am, you may be also." We weren't just raised so that we could live in our own space, in our own time, in our own house. No. Jesus Himself raises us up so that we might spend eternity with Him, so that we might experience everything that He has for us. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. You and I don't have to worry about the schemes of the devil any longer. In heaven, we don't have to worry about what he would try to do to divert us off the path. Why? Because we have a home. A home in heaven that is unshakable. Nothing in this world can take that away. Then he says this right after that part of the verse as it goes on. Hebrews 12:28. Let us be thankful. Did you get that? Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. We are to respond to him with a grateful heart for what he has done for us. That's really what Thanksgiving is all about. Oh, yeah. We know that there's a story behind Thanksgiving. We know there are important players behind Thanksgiving in our nation. But what should we as a church be doing? What should you as an individual be doing when it comes to that moment of Thanksgiving? If everything else in your life was stripped away, I ask myself this same question. If everything else in my life was stripped away, I was being martyred for my faith in Jesus, would I do it with thankfulness in my life? Would that be characteristic of who I am? Would the people that are killing me see that gratefulness and thankfulness to the Lord that I have in the moment of those things? You and I, we don't have so much of that, but around the world, my friend, there are many believers who are being martyred for their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And one day that might be us. One day we might be in a place where individuals are looking at us as the enemy rather than the ones who proclaim the salvation that is in Jesus' name. So living a life that is thankful before the Lord is living a life focused on what God has done in our life and how he has worked. It was the Apostle Peter who said this in 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. And let me ask you this. If you were going through a difficulty in your life and you were talking to a neighbor and you said to them, man, I'm so mad about everything that's going on in my life. I deserve much better. Tell me how that glorifies Jesus. Tell me how that gives you the opportunity to express thankfulness for all that God has given you. You and I have one opportunity sometimes with people. Let us not use it in a way that is degrading of all the things God has given to us. For it is in that thankful heart, it is in that thankful spirit, it's in that thankful attitude that you and I show ourselves to be different. It's in those moments where we communicate how God has worked in my life, and people know that there have been struggles and problems and difficulties, but through all of that, God has been faithful. That's what we ought to tell others when it comes to sharing Christ. We tell them about that. James chapter 5, verse 1 says this. James 5, 1. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Now I want you to listen to this next part. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to some of us. It says, who gives to all generously. And he doesn't say, like sometimes I give, here, you can have this. I was so good to give it to you. God always says, he doesn't give with a grudging spirit in his life. And we are to give in the same way. And when we do, it says in the latter part of that verse, James 1:5, and it will be given to him. Asking in faith, asking God for a work, is how you and I experience all that God wants to do in our life. So as we approach this season of Thanksgiving, and certainly this week of Thanksgiving, where a lot of times we gather together with our family and friends, maybe we gather together with neighbors, friends, acquaintances, maybe people that they bring. Let us express a grateful heart in what we are doing. Not one that is stubborn or belligerent or ungrateful. Let us share a grateful heart with those that we are around. Let us communicate gratefulness within our congregation. And I sincerely want you all to know how grateful I am for you, each and every one of you that is here today. May you know that I am grateful that God has created you and that God has called you to be a part of our church family. It's only in that thankfulness that we can overcome the challenges that we face at times, the challenges with people that we face at times, the challenges with circumstances we face at times. It's only in that moment of gratefulness to God for all that he has done for us that you and I can have a grateful heart, and we can express it to those we come in contact with by thanking God for the good things he has done for us. Let's pray together.